Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
Well, if you have your Bibles with you this evening, please turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. Moving into this fifth and final chapter of 1 John. I will begin reading at verse 20 of chapter 4. We'll go through verse 5 of chapter 5. Once again, let's go before the Lord in prayer before we hear the preaching of His Word. Father, Your Word is authoritative and true. It is sufficient. We are thankful that You have given it to us. And as we open it tonight, we pray that You would deeply nourish us and show us Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to better understand and live according to Your commands. We pray this in His name. Amen. Amen. Well, 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 20. This is God's word written for you and for me today. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. Thus far the reading of his holy word. Well, my friends, as John continues to paint the picture of love, most recently we considered the perfection of love among us. And we considered the reason why God perfected his love in and among us, that we would have boldness in the day of judgment. And this boldness is another mark of a true Christian. To be clear, this boldness isn't such that comes from pride or arrogance. We can't be bold in that day because of something in us or something that we have done or accomplished. It is a God-given confidence that we have in Christ and in his finished work. And therefore, as love has been perfected in and among us, we can have confidence before him, knowing that we stand as those he has ransomed, that he has washed, that he has cleansed and forgiven. We stand as those who are at peace in his presence and full of joy. John pressed home that we have boldness toward Christ because of our conformity to him. Apart from Christ, we were full of guilt and shame. We were full of fear and dread. That fear was a tormenting fear. We were truly miserable in that estate, and yet as John fills out what is true of love more and more in this picture that he paints, he taught us that the perfection of it among us deals squarely with such fear. Fear isn't a part of love. And in fact, we considered the wonderful reality that perfect love does something to fear in the hearts of believers. It throws it out. It casts it out. And with the absence of such fear, we see more of the beauty of the Spirit's work of the fear-free fruit of love in and amongst us, don't we? And that fruit of love comes from the divine love, God's love. Dare we say that the love in us that bears such fruit wells up from within ourselves, our own storehouses? No, no. John beautifully points us back to God, back to Jesus Christ and his love for us, a love that took him to the cross for us as its supreme example. And so as our love is a derivative of God's love, we may say, therefore, that we love, and we do. And this brings us to John's words in the preceding context of our text this evening, much of which may sound like instruction we've received before, but in closer examination is John building on what he previously taught us about what is true for those who say that they walk in love and in the light, but hate their brothers. And John expands and presses that truth in. John taught us that those who say they walk in the light and hate their brothers are in darkness and walk in darkness. You can see that truth in chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, he said in chapter 3, verse 15. For if we say that we love God but hate our brothers, we show ourselves to be liars. Verse 20 of chapter 4. Not following God's commandment to love one another. And he's been pressing that in, hasn't he? Over and over and over again. The need, the imperative to love one another, really ministering and really pressing into this church and these saints that were wrestling with that so much. We need to even examine this in our own hearts. But further notice and consider the very poignant question John asks in verse 20 of chapter 4. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? That's a very good question. It hits right to the heart of the matter. And this really points us back to and emphasizes John's words to us in verse 12, where John said, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us." Now, in tonight's text, the Apostle John speaks to the connection between love and faith. He speaks to our obedience by faith. We will look at this under three headings tonight. First, believing Jesus is the Christ and his love, verse 1. Keeping God's burden-free commandments in verses 2 and 3. And finally, the victory of our faith in verses 4 and 5. So notice what John says in verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. Now, as we consider this verse, it should take us back to chapter 2, verse 22, where we find the contrast. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. And here, John begins in what God's children believe about Jesus being the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Son of God by nature and by office. Jesus is the perfect one who carries out the whole work of eternal salvation. And many people believed many things about Jesus and who he was and is. And some said he was just a prophet. He was merely a good teacher, maybe even a miracle worker. But as Calvin points out, faith is far above the reach of the human mind, so that we must be drawn to Christ by our Heavenly Father. For not any of us can ascend to him by his own strength. And so the question for us all, the question for you tonight, is who do you say that Jesus is? Remember when Jesus asked his disciples who they said he was in Matthew 16, 16. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Peter made such a confession of his faith in Jesus in John 6, 68 and 69. It says, "But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" John says that he who believes Jesus is the Christ bears witness to him having been given new life in Christ. Those who have been born of God are recipients of his love and bear the fruit of love, in that we love God and we love his children who are in his image. Beloved, we've considered many verses on loving God and loving one another, haven't we? And we've considered different reasons for the command, different contexts even. And what thoughts come to your mind as we've looked at them and now here in this verse? Are you tempted with the thought of, okay, I get it. You know, I need to love one another. Got to do that. Let's move on. Message has been received. Or there are so many facets and reasons God gives us for loving him and others, even in this letter alone, that this has helped me to dig in and to have a stronger foundation and motivation for doing so. I encourage you, my friends, to receive these words and prayerfully consider what God is teaching you about obedience by faith. What he is teaching you about the connection between faith and love. As he, through John, teaches and reinforces and expands our knowledge and understanding of the facets of his command to love and how and why we should do so. And that's where John goes next. Look at verse 2. "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments." So once again, John gives us another litmus test, an evidence of such love. By this we know. How do we know? How can we have confidence that we truly love the children of God? When we love God and keep his commandments. Now let's briefly survey a few passages in Scripture that can help us see the bigger picture and consider the piece that these words in verse 3 fill in. I encourage you to look at John chapter 13. You can turn there if you'd like. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. There we read, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So here our Lord issues command. Command to love one another, following the example of his love for us. And further, what does he say in 35? This will be a witness, it'll be a testimony, right? "By this, all will know that you are my disciples, that all will know that we belong to Christ, if we have love for one another." He gives us command. He calls us to keep it. And he shows us what we must do. John 14, next chapter over, verse 15. Very simple verse, very powerful verse. "If you love me, keep my commandments. If we truly love our Lord Jesus Christ, this must be what we are focused on doing, keeping his commandments. If we are to keep his commandments, we must know what his commandments are. We must be good students of the word. We must know what our Lord calls us to do and requires of us. Next chapter over, John 15, verses 9 and 10. Christ said this, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Notice this connection in the instruction that he gives us as his people. He tells us to keep his commandments, and as we do so, if we do so, we will abide in his love. But he connects that to even his own relationship with the Father, right? And what he has done. Christ was perfect in living the righteous life and following his Father's commandments, and he abides in his love. And so we see this even passed to us in similar relationships, similar context. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Keep my commandments, abide in my love. So what do these verses teach about obedience and love? As we were taught last week, we love because he loved us first. And further, loving one another bears witness to others that we belong to Christ. If we truly love Jesus, that will be evidence in our obedience to his commands. If we obey Jesus, we will abide or dwell in his love. And so what wonderful truth does God teach us about this picture in verse 3, here back in 1 John chapter 5? Loving one another well requires obeying God's commandments. Simply put, God's law directs our love. God's law, his commands, his requirements direct our love. The love of God, notice, isn't idle. It isn't idle. John Calvin said this, "Men are rightly and duly loved when God holds the primacy. Mutual love ought to be in such a way cultivated that God may be honored." A good example of this, my friends, is our marriages. We have a God-given desire, and it is critically important that God is at the center of that covenant relationship. God holds primacy. Love is cultivated in such a way that he is honored. And John goes on here to encourage us in obedience and love. In verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." If we're honest, as we consider God's law, it's quite weighty. It's heavy. We are called to love him with our whole hearts, to love our neighbors as ourselves, even to love our enemies. We are to live according to each one of the Ten Commandments. We are to live according to the many other commands God gives us in the Scriptures. God's law is heavy, but he tells us what we must do, how we must live. But we're prone to do our own thing and go our own way. For the unbeliever, the law not only convicts, but it also condemns. The law stands true and exposes their sin, leaving them without excuse before God. For the unbeliever, the law is a burden that they are unable to bear. So how can John tell us that God's commands aren't burdensome? The answer, where he points us, is about Christ. He points us to Jesus and the new life that we have in him. God's law is no longer a burden for us because of Christ. The law is a burden to those who are under its curse. However, it is a blessing to those who belong to Jesus. It's not a burden because Christ, in his act of obedience, lived and perfectly fulfilled the law for us. Jesus received our condemnation on the cross so that we would be justified. The law is not a burden because it no longer condemns us. Yes, we struggle in our obedience. Yes, we wrestle and we battle with sin. However, as we are trusting in Christ, we hate our sin. And like David, we should love God's law. The third use of the law helps us here as it serves as our guide. It guides us in how we should live. It guides us in good works. It shows us what pleases God and therefore how we must live. Remember David's view of God's law in Psalm 19:8 when he said, "The statutes of the Lord are right." And what? Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. And what? Enlightening the eyes. Psalm 119, verses 47 and 48. He said, "I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes." Think also about Jesus' comforting words in Matthew 11, verses 29 and 30. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And so, my friends, considering passages in the Psalms, considering Christ's words in the Gospel according to Matthew, we can now better understand John's words about God's commands not being burdensome. Can't we? But John says in verse 4 that we have victory, and our victory is our faith. He says in verse 4, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Now take note of the important message here. There are none who are born again who won't overcome the world. And this is a great comfort for all Christians everywhere. For the temptations, the pressures, the lures of the world are strong against and trying to creep in from within as well. And this reality is why John warned in chapter 2 of this epistle that we must not love the world. We must not love the things in the system of rebellion that our master overcame. And we have good reason to believe what John says here in verse 4 is true. And he says in chapter 4, remember what he said in chapter 4, verse 4 of this epistle, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." And in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33, John said this, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." If you recall, the reason John said that he wrote to the young men in this epistle in chapter 2, verse 13, was because they, quote, overcame the wicked one. And know what he says in verse 5. "Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" What is the victory? our faith. We believe that Jesus is the Christ. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Our faith is the victory that has overcome the world. And indeed, we have overcome the world because we believe in the one who has overcome the world. And his Spirit is at work in us as his children. And so, my friends, who do you say that Jesus is? Do you believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God? And if you do, know that you are born of God. Do you better see and understand what God is teaching us here about obedience by faith? You are called to love him and love his people as he has commanded you. But also, I encourage you, see afresh and even more deeply the connection between love and faith and obedience. See the commands of your God as not a burden, but as you are in Christ, delight in them. Love them. Study them with your whole heart. For they show us our sin. They restrain evil. They also serve as a guide for God's children, that we would live godly lives before him. Finally, take comfort in Christ's work, even that in you is his gift of faith. As much as you wrestle and fight, the world will not be victorious, for it has already been defeated by Christ. Our faith in him is the victory that has overcome the world. And by God's grace, may that give you much peace. Amen. Praise God for his word. Let's pray together.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org.